Toshi Reagan with Darlin' off of her newest CD called Kindness. And before that, we heard Lourdes Perez with Vestigios. And we're back with Sharon Bridgeforth, author of the Bull Jean Stories, who's going to talk to us about Root Woman Theater.
Yeah.
How long has Root Woman been around?
Since 1993.
Yeah, and they're out of Austin?
Yes.
Where you live?
Yes.
And what kind of theater do you all do?
We do performance art, and I'm the writer and artistic director, and we're interdisciplinary. So it's a mixture of movement, visual art, voice and text with dramatic interpretation.
And how many women are in the group?
Well, we've done shows with four performers, and then for the last few years, we've toured one-woman shows that feature Sanja Parks, who's here in the Penumbra show.
Oh, great. All right, so now Root Woman is just you and Sanja?
Well, no, we had a manager, Lori Wilson, that worked with us, and some other people that offered services at different times. But I, for the past year, I haven't focused on Root Women that much. Mm-hmm. I've been focusing on myself as an individual artist, because what I found was that having a theater company was being a business person. I was an entrepreneur,
right.
And I had to manage people and manage a business, and I was not able to focus on writing as much as I wanted to. So I decided to take a little break, and we did do a show. We were in Columbus, Ohio last week, actually, at the King Arts Complex, and we did a show there, but I'm not booking Root Women that much. And in fact, I'm performing at the Michigan Women's Music Festival on the acoustic stage two nights. I'm like really excited. And the last two times we were there, it was with Root Women, so it's going to be kind of a change
for
me.
Different, huh?
Yeah, because it'll
now
be
you're
me.
Doing Bull Jean, or you're just doing other stuff, too?
I'm doing the Bull Jean stories. Uh-huh. And I've invited a friend, a poet from Chicago named Cece Carter, who's going to do one of her poems called Hips. And let me just tell you, it is so fierce. She, I first heard her do it in D.C. at the Behind Our Mask conference at a slam. And she just, the roof almost came off. I mean, people went crazy. She's an incredible performance artist, poet, you know, slam, spoken word artist. And so she's going to join me. But I'll be doing the Bull Jean stories.
Uh-huh. So this is at Michigan now.
Yeah.
So all those gals are going to Michigan. Should check it out.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. They've got their website up that has all the information.
Right.
And they told
me. I think
me
the brochures just showed up at Amazon, too.
Okay.
For all those listeners out there who, about this time of year, we start getting phone calls. Well, the Michigan Flyers.
I know.
They're at the store at Amazon in the entryway. Go get one.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. So. Do you write full time? Does that support you full time, or you do other?
Until I have, for the past 10 years, I've had three or four jobs plus Root Women, plus writing,
right,
plus you know parenting, and
as if I had to ask,
being a partner and all that stuff, and I functioned you know well under that type of stress and pressure and drama for a while, and then I got tired, and so for the past year, I've really, really worked hard to try to create a different kind of lifestyle as an artist. And so for the moment, I'm making a living as an artist, doing residency work, being supported by grants. Frontier at Hyde Park Theater in Austin, Texas wrote a NEA grant to commission me to write a new piece.
Oh, great.
So I'll be doing that shortly. And in fact, Lori Carlos is going to direct the piece, so we're going to work in Austin together. But, you know, looking for and receiving, you know, different opportunities like that, and work like I'm doing this week, which is a residency package, is kind of how I'm doing it right now. And I hope with the right, you know, I feel like I'm in a window, and I've got to, like, just push my way through somehow, climb over to the other side so that I can be a little more financially secure in being able to continue to work full-time as an artist so that I can produce more pieces, you know, because I figured, you know, if I could let go of the three or four jobs, I could probably write three or four more pieces, you know, in a year.
So which do you like doing better? You like the writing better or the performing better? Or do you see it all sort of informing each other? Or?
Yeah, I think it informs each other because I really, my pieces require interaction. And so when I read or when the pieces are performed, it really has a different life when the people present give an exchange of their responses, you know, when they laugh or when they do whatever it is that they need to do in those moments, and how people respond informs me.
Right.
And so I, for instance, early on figured out that humor was something that I was really interested in exploring because it was a great way to meet people and have dialogue in the moments of the presentation of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm informed by the exchange that happens during mm-hmm. performance, whether it's me reading or whether it's a theater piece. With the residency work, like, this has been the perfect and my by far almost favorite, you know, absolutely my favorite residency, because I love this city. I have friends here that I care about that are doing great work themselves. You know, Eleanor is the perfect presenter, you know, mm-hmm. and the Women of Color Building Project, Intermedia Arts, The Walker, and Vulva Riot came together to sponsor me. And some of my friends from Metropolitan State University kind of are parts of those groups. So, mm-hmm. you know, they were here too, involved in the process. And it's just been great. So what happens is I get to talk to people in a meaningful way for a period of time
yeah.
and feed off of each other's ideas yeah. and visions and what's going on in community and things like that. And so that helps my work a lot too. So I think I think that I need people in order to be able to envision writing.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that was really obvious to me when you were performing at Metro, and then uh-huh. also when you read at Amazon, that's one of the things that I really appreciated about how you were doing it, is that you were really talking to, I mean, you were reading, but yeah. in your reading, you were really telling a story to
yeah.
the folks who were sitting there, and they, in fact, talked back to you and
yeah.
laughed with you and, you know, were making comments back to you, and I could see that you were really feeding off of that. That just encouraged you.
yeah.
You can go more.
yeah, the old girl won't hush then.
So that was really, I could see how that would, you know, really keep you going in both directions.
Yeah.
That was really wonderful to see.
That was fun.
And to watch how you encourage other women's art, too. You know, the woman who got up and just
yeah, Yolanda. Read yeah.
And you know, other folks that I've seen you with, that you really are encouraging other artists, which I think is really wonderful, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because that's, you know, there's a lot of folks who kind of get into doing what they're doing and don't really help others or not even help, but, you know, encourage, I guess, is more what it's about.
Yeah. So. It's a hard life, you know, being an artist. And unfortunately, I feel that, you know, there's a narrow passage that some people are able to get through
uh-huh.
and be able to do it full time and support themselves. And that really upsets me, because
right.
I think there are so many people that are talented, that have things that are important to say, that need the opportunity to be heard. And so many of us don't get that opportunity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's, I went through a little period of being very bitter about that. So I try not to unleash that anymore. But I feel that, you know, art is for everybody, you
right.
know, and we all should have the opportunity to be a part of that exchange in whatever way we yearn
right.
to.
Well, and it's good for, I mean, it enriches all of us.
Yeah.
To some, you know, to hear what different women are writing, and
yeah.
lesbians in particular, because our voices are,
yeah.
you know, in these little, small little places, you
yes.
know, and if we could bust them out a little bit, you know, that's really better for all of us, I
yes.
think, too, so,
yeah.
Cool, well, it's just about the top of the hour here. We've got a half hour left on Lesbian Power 30, but a few little station business type
all
things.
Right.
This is KFAI, Fresh Air Radio, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and 106.7 FM in St. Paul, and you are listening to the Lesbian Power Authority. And my name is Mev, and we're hanging out this evening with Sharon Bridgeforth. Just wanted to let you know of a community announcement tomorrow evening, Monday night, April 5th, at 7 o'clock at Amazon Bookstore. Who's Counting? A video by Marilyn Waring about international feminist economics. This is an event that's being sponsored by the Radical Feminist Lesbians at Amazon, and it's in preparation for the new improved Stuff for Dykes event that will be happening on Saturday, April 24th. The video, Who's Counting?, is a provocative and inspiring film which explores the poor economic conditions of women around the world. Marilyn Waring, for some of you might know, she's a New Zealander, and she's a sheep farmer, I think. But she was also the Prime Minister of New Zealand for a period of years, and was very important in doing stuff around international economics for women. And this is a video in which she explores a lot of the issues for women around the world and poor economic conditions. And it's really quite moving, so I would encourage folks to go see that and to also hear about the new improved stuff for Dykes, which is a lesbian, you can bring it, you can take it, but you can't pay for it kind of event. It's the beginning of the spring season, so check out your closet, see what's in there. Get those Dyke t-shirts out that don't fit you. Take them over to Stuff for Dykes on April 24. We'll be talking more about that in the coming weeks. But tomorrow night is Who's Counting at 7 o'clock at Amazon. And and then coming up on Monday, April 19th at Amazon, Kishore Scott, Cherry Muhanji, and Idjira Bahai will be reading from their new expanded edition of Tight Spaces. And Cherry was here several months ago, and we hope to get her and Ajerba back in the studio to read from Tight Spaces. So that will be hopefully coming along later on as well. So lots of events going on around town. Chris Williamson and Trip Fury will actually be joining us on the Lesbian Power Authority next week by phone to promote their concert that will be coming up on May 1st. So tune in next week for hopefully we'll get this phone gadgetry working and we'll have an interview with Chris and Trett next week on the Lesbian Power Authority. Right now we're going to do a little bit of music. Got a new Nona Hendricks CD just in. This is called Transformation, and it's the best of Nona Hendricks, and this one is called Bustin' Out. So here we go. We'll be right back. Nona Hendrix, Bustin' Out, off of her newest CD called Transformation, the best of Nona Hendrix. And Sharon is still here.
Still here.
Still here. We were just talking about relationships.
Yes.
Heavy duty things like that. So, having fun. So, what are we going to talk about now? Just, you want to talk about Austin? Or what
sure.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to say that April 29th, I find out whether the Bulging Stories gets the Lammy or not.
Oh, right.
So I'm really excited about that possibility. The book was nominated for 2 Lammys, Best Lesbian Fiction and Best Book by Small Press.
Mm-hmm.
And so the nomination was just quite an honor. And I go to the ceremony in Los Angeles on the 29th and we'll find out.
For those of you who don't know what the Lammys are, they are the Lambda Literary Awards that are sponsored annually. I think, I don't remember what year this is. This must be like 7th or 8th year for the Lammys. I don't know. But it started off with Lambda Bookstore and the Lambda Book Report out of Washington, D.C. got this idea that we should honor gay and lesbian writing of all kinds, fiction and nonfiction and poetry and science fiction and mysteries and biographies, and they do the whole thing, and then
yes.
There's a Small Press Award too, and they present the award annually at the annual American Booksellers Association National Conference
yes.
deal, and they have a special dinner. You got your suit all picked out.
Oh, fancy. My partner wants me to wear a tux, and I want to wear a suit that is not a tux, so we're
she's
the boss,
working it out,
you know.
Huh?
She's the coordinator.
She going with you?
Yeah, well, yeah, she's going with me.
What's she gonna wear?
A red dress.
Oh,
she told
goodness.
Me lots of legs. I'm just very excited.
Yeah, she's going to
it's
the right place.
It's
gonna
be all about the
legs
and the red dress for me. But yeah, so when I get home, we've got to finish hashing it through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I might feel confined in a tux. I think I want a different. Kind
a lot of
suit.
Folks dress though.
Yeah, that's what
thing.
She told
you know,
me.
I mean,
and it's at a very fancy place.
Oh,
very
yeah. Oh, they always
place.
Have it at some, yeah, very, like, shishi hotel with
yes.
bad food. Bad food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's at a
some crackers in your pocket
this
at
time.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Every time I've ever gone, it's been horrible.
Ooh. Yeah, so we'll
but,
see.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun anyway. I mean, it's
yeah,
sort
we'll
of like the
time.
Who's who of the gay and lesbian literati,
oh
I gotta
gosh.
Tell you. It's like, it's this whole big deal. Some of the folks are pretty annoying. And so, you know, it's actually, yeah. I always felt like, we went with the feminist bookstores for quite a while in the years that I went out. I actually stopped going at some point because I was tired of paying $50 for bad food.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
that's kind of what it came down to. And it goes on forever.
Oh, no.
Be rested. I
okay.
mean, you know, as much as they, it's like the Oscars, you know, as long as they try to get it in 3 hours and it usually goes about 6 or
oh,
something
my.
Horrible like that. But that's a little bit of an exaggeration. But it is a long evening. But always felt like we were the poor country cousins, you know, the feminist bookstores, because we'd all sit in a little table together. We all had our, you know, little jeans or some of us like put our chinos on. You
hey.
Know, we had our chinos and our little blazers, you know, but we were not dressed.
Yeah.
We were definitely not. I mean, not in the same way that a lot of other people were dressed.
Yeah.
And so we always, you know, poor feminist booksellers looking like, you know, sitting over in the corner, hanging out with each other.
Sounds like fun to me.
It was actually, it was great fun. But we didn't fit in. That's like amazing. Even in a room full of lesbians
isn't
and gay folk,
something?
We still didn't fit in. It
yeah.
was like, how did this happen?
Yeah. Class
so,
stuff.
I know. It's pretty
yeah.
intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so the red dress and the
yeah.
suit tux. You going to wear a tie?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
I want to wear a different kind of shirt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'll
with her in the
report.
Red dress and the legs, I'll be as butchly as possible. Believe me. But I don't want to wear a tie. I want to wear a different kind
yeah.
of
yeah.
outfit.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll want a full report on the whole,
okay.
on the whole gig when you get done.
Okay.
And keep our fingers crossed on 29th that you win.
Thank you.
And we'll hear about it at the bookstore soon after.
Yeah.
So we'll make a big display. Bulging Stories. Get little Lammy stickers on it.
Oh, man. I'd love to win
yeah.
one of those.
That'd be really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll just be really cool. It'll be good for Redbone Press, too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, does your mama know? I can't remember. Did it win Lammy?
Yes, it did.
It for
uh-huh. I think it won for Best Book by Small Press.
That's what I thought,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, Lisa is brilliant.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's a very smart business person. She absolutely is committed to the mission of the press, which is to provide space for African-American lesbian voices.
Mm-hmm.
She's very a diligent, hard worker, and she really loves my stories. And so,
well, and you know, if your publisher loves your stories, you know, that's really important, because that's what gets the books out there.
Yeah, I feel treasured, you know. Mm-hmm. And so she just sends me off. Me and the books, we're on the road, man. But I love every single minute of it, and I feel that I can trust her absolutely, you know, uh-huh. with her decisions, with the work, with, you know, any future, you know, with the book. And she's very smart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, another one we're going to have to get up here.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's happened with the lesbian community in Austin these days? A lot of, you know, I have to say, just for those of you who listen to the show, that a lot of lesbian music comes out of Austin.
Yes, it does.
You know, and I've just I think of Austin as just sort of like, I don't know, the bookend of Minnesota, Minneapolis, somehow,
yeah.
practically like directly south of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think Austin is full of dichotomies. It's very interesting.
Dichotomies?
Dichotomies, yeah. It's a college town, so it's got a sense of progressiveness. It's a small town. It's the capital. There are a lot of gay and lesbian, you know, people there. And it's clean, and it feels safe. The cost of living has tripled since I've been there in the past 9 years, but the wages have not.
Uh-huh.
It is also the Bible Belt South. So it is segregated,
yeah.
and it is very conservative, all at the same time.
Is the community that way also?
Yeah, it feels like it to me, yeah.
Huh.
I think that African Americans make up about 9% of the population in Austin, and I think the Hispanic community makes up about 17%.
Uh-huh.
And I think that within the gay and lesbian community, you know, that shows.
Mm-hmm.
And also the way the city is divided in terms of the layout of the city is there mm-hmm. are dividing lines.
There's a river that goes through the
city.
There's
a river, but what divides the city is the freeway.
Oh, okay.
The I-35 freeway.
Okay.
It's that old segregated line.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, at the same time, there's a lot of incredible things happening and people that are doing work all over the world, you know, that live in Austin, that do work together. So it's kind of hard to understand, and it's really hard to articulate. But I think that, you know, there are a lot of exciting possibilities, and there have been places that, you know, lesbians have done some incredible work because it's a small town and we can find each other.
Right.
I guess the problem is that we tend to get burnt out because it is a small town. And unfortunately, we don't have a center. We don't have a gay and lesbian center. We don't have a central building or place that has ongoing stuff that we can kind of connect at on an ongoing basis.
Right.
So the feeling of building is kind of missing.
Yeah. It's true in a lot of communities these days, though.
Yeah.
A lot of the women's centers went the way of women's centers, and there haven't been that many gay lesbian centers that I'm aware of around the country. And it just I think that makes it really hard for us. And
I think so, too. And I think that because of the Bible Belt South thing, you know, you have this whole religious confunction.
that was a good word.
Yeah. And a lot of, you know, the lesbians of color are in the closet, or a lot of the people that are women that appear to be straight are lesbians, but they're married, or you know, it's like a lot of weird stuff is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And coming from Los Angeles, you know, it was just very shocking to me and hard to get used to.
Yeah. How did you get to Austin then?
Well, Los Angeles was just killing me, you know. I grew up
there.
It's big, dirty, nasty, mean. I felt like I couldn't afford to dream. I was just wild myself at the time.
Yeah.
And had some friends that moved from L.A. to Austin, and they, like, their whole personality changed. You know, they got real nice and calm, and they bought houses, and they kept telling me how beautiful it was. And I had never been to Texas, but I just moved. And it was just, it was the angels carrying me there, because it really was a critical time.
And it's been a good move for you, I take it?
Yeah, it's been great. And artistically, you know, Austin and Minneapolis St. Paul have some pretty deep connections. You know, there's a lot of us that work together in exchange. People like Daniel Alexander Jones, who was here for a while, and now he's touring with Hot Mouth. But he works here. He works in Austin with a lot of us. Lori Carlos works in Austin but lives in St. Paul and works at Penumbra. There's some a lot of ties that are being nurtured and developed artistically between individuals and organizations in Austin.
And there was some rumor that Sharon Bridgeford might be moving to Minneapolis. Yeah, I heard someplace.
I really would love to live here. I would have to have, like, I haven't figured out what could bring me here. You know, because I would
certainly wouldn't be the weather.
It would not be the weather. In fact, my partner and I never get past visualizing winter. So we've decided that maybe we can kind of be in Austin part-time and here part-time. Trying to figure out how to do that.
Well, it would be really great to have
you. I'd love it. I love it here. I'd love it here.
Well, our time, we only got a couple more minutes. How can we squeeze out of 4 minutes?
A lot can be said in 4 minutes.
I know, really. Anything else you want to say about Bull Jean before we let her go for the evening? Does she have a bedtime story? Probably doesn't, huh?
Well, she's got a story. It's too long for me to read it right now, but I would say the Bull Jean and Mina Stay story would be her bedtime story. It's a look at commitment, actually. I actually, when I first got with my partner, was like, okay, you're my woman now, you know? I was like claiming her.
I bet that went far.
Oh, well, yeah. So she kind of said to me some of the things that the Mina character says in this story. You know, and basically when I wrote the story, I was really trying to understand what it meant to be in a long-term commitment with someone and what that meant. Because I just immediately started calling her wife, claiming her, you know, and I hadn't thought through what I meant by that. You know? And so I think for me that story was my beginning to explore what that means and how to do it. And that's a long road. I'm going to be writing another story very soon about that, looking at another part of what that means. You know,
I'm still trying to figure that out. We got on this conversation because I was saying that we're celebrating 10 years this coming week. And so it's been thinking about it a lot, and, you know, thinking about what it means to be with somebody for that long and what our futures are going to hold together if you know, and it was telling Sharon that, you know, part of the reason why it works is a sort of, you know, one day at a time kind of, oh, I still want to wake up with you this morning kind of feeling, you know, and really nurturing the things about each other that we really care about a whole lot, and allowing each other to be individuals and free too at the same time. So it's worked for us.
Congratulations.
So thank you. I feel really, you know, starting to talk about it a little bit, you know, I feel really proud about that, you know, because there's so much in society that says, you know, lesbian relationships can't work and won't work, shouldn't work, and all of those things, and we happen to live in a, you know, in a pretty supportive environment. Her family in particular is very supportive of us, and they're really warm toward me. My family is, you know, polite. You know, but I'm not that close to my family, so it, you know, it changes things a little bit, but you know, but we've had, you know, a lot of supportive friends over the years, and in our neighborhood right now, all the neighbors know, and they just think we're great. So
wonderful.
So it's pretty pretty proud of it, and it's, you know, starting to talk about it. I think that all of us should talk about our long-term successes, you know, and you can get I mean, you know, we've had all those conversations about polyamory and non-monogamy and all those kinds of things. And, you know, I think that there's some room for those too. But I'm not the kind of person that can keep that many balls going. I've had enough going on.
Too complicated.
Too much. Too much. Well, so Sharon, thanks for coming.
Oh,
thank
you.
The evening with us. This
it's
is really a treat. I really appreciate you coming in, and hope you'll come back the next time you're in town.
I would love to.
That'd be great. So we've been talking with Sharon Bridgeforth, who is the author of Bull Jean Stories, published by Redbone Press, and I would encourage you all to run out and get yourself a copy at your local independent bookseller.
Yeah.
And your feminist one, too, that Amazon place. And this program has been supported by KFAI listener members and Lavender Magazine, serving the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and friends. Lavender Magazine is distributed biweekly throughout the Twin Cities and the region. Lavender Magazine's phone number is 612-871-2237. And we're going to go out this evening with a little bit of Nedra Johnson singing some affirmations for you this evening. And I want to remind you to come back next week to the Lesbian Power Authority, where we will be interviewing Chris Williamson and Trett Fury by phone in preparation for their concert in May. And I think we'll even have some gifts next week, so you want to tune in for that. Methia will be back, and stay tuned to KFAI when This Way Out comes up at 10:30, and then Eleanor will be back at 11. You going to join Eleanor at 11? Oops. Great. I didn't have you on the mic, so...
Okay, yeah, I'm going to be hanging with Eleanor.
All right, so hang in for that at 11 o'clock with Forbidden Fruit, and stay tuned to KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and 106.7 FM in St. Paul.
I am humility and greatness.